back, episode 12 of Read Between the
Is
Lines.
Is this thing on?
Yo, yo, yo.
I'm your boy Daniel.
Your favorite duo.
And your boy Q here.
That's right.
Yeah, man. We're here for another week, and a lot's been going on. So, yeah, man, you got anything for the people right now that's been going on with you?
No, I'm just glad to be here today.
Yeah.
It's been a week, but I'm making it. Almost at the finish line. Yeah, Ride is, like, right around the corner.
Yeah.
I got to work, but still.
Yeah, today is Thursday.
But
yeah, man, a lot's been going on, and I got a few stories for us to kind of go over. Obviously, the biggest thing that's been going on around the country and pretty much around the world is the Trump assassination attempt that happened last Saturday. We were here last Thursday recording, just kind of reacting on the presidential debate that happened like 2 weeks prior, just because we took a week off. And, you know, next thing you know, this thing happened on Saturday. And the little that we know is basically it was a 20-year-old that tried to assassinate the president. And apparently he had made a minor political donation. I think it was $15 to a liberal PAC. Years ago. However, he was a registered Republican, so no one really knows what his true beliefs were. And apparently, his name is Thomas Matthew Crooks, and he took multiple shots from a rooftop approximately 130 yards away from the rally venue. And Trump was grazed by a bullet that pierced the upper part of his right ear, but was not seriously injured. There's a few questions that I have for you that I've been wondering, but I guess the first thing is, did you see the video, in terms of like when it happened?
Yeah, I did.
You did. So when you saw it and you kind of took it all in, like what was going through your mind?
To me, it didn't sound like a gunshot.
Okay.
It just sounded like maybe, I thought maybe like a mosquito or something. And he was trying to get off his ear, and then.
Oh, okay. When he went, he reached up.
Yeah, he reached up. I thought something was trying to bite him, and he was, because this is Donald Trump. I mean, you can't put nothing beside him anyway. So I didn't know what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, and then I heard it again. I said, no, that sounds like it might be like a type of a shot or something. And then before you know it, by the second time, people started ducking. So it was just like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And it looked like it was, I know some people look at it and think that it may have been a skit, or it may have been like some type of a prank or something. But
a false flag,
yeah,
or it was
something. But it was actually real. Like,
yeah.
So, and at the end of the day, I think that's just, it's scary because that day the world changed, you know. And now on top of that, you know, you look at the fact this happened, and no one deserves to die, regardless, you know, whether it's Biden or whether it's Trump or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I did see it. It was different, and you know, and social media, they take anything and run with it. And once that happened, it wasn't even 30 minutes. Okay, maybe 30 minutes, but a little bit longer than that. But you saw seeing little small little acts and clips and pranks all on TikTok.
Yeah.
People putting up crazy stuff.
Well, I mean, luckily he made it.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, when I saw it, man, it was kind of crazy. Because truth be told, you know, some people, you know, especially in the Republican Party or conservatives, felt like this could happen, you know, because of all the things that have been going on with Trump to keep him out of office, you know, just from all the litigation, all the things to, you know, to get them canceled from like social media and stuff like that. So, and none of that has worked. If anything, is kind of made them stronger. So some people thought that the next logical thing would be to try to get rid of him by actually killing him. So some people, this was shocking, but yes, but at the same time, it wasn't surprising. But to me, it was still very surprising because I was like, man, this is crazy. And I feel like the ramifications of it would have been way beyond what any of us could possibly imagine. I really do feel that we would have gone down this like dark path as a country. Like, I really think things would have gone really bad. Like riots, like damn near probably civil war, probably. That's how bad I think it would have gone had he actually died. But by the grace of God, that didn't happen. And, you know, he's recovering just from a minor wound, which is crazy to me to think that just this little head tilt was all it took to for that bullet to miss, literally going through like the side of his head and the other side of his brain. It's insane when you look at some of the footage. But so that was kind of my initial reaction. But deeper than that, my question was like, how in the world could he have gotten away with that? I mean, when you think of like the Secret Service and all the things that go into these events, like how in the world was he able to get on that rooftop that was literally like facing towards him? And when you look at certain pictures, you could probably see him up there. And there were actually people that saw him up there right before he took a few shots. So the fact that the Secret Service and nobody was able to do anything prior to him taking like five shots at the president, that's what's been mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
You know, the Secret Service just botching the whole thing. Because you would think that every single building would be accounted for. And they even said that that particular building was considered vulnerable. But nobody apparently was assigned to that building on the rooftop to make sure it was secure. And the director of the Secret Service, I forget her name. I think her last name is Kimberly. I think her name is Kimberly Cheadles. She tried to say that because the roof was too sloped, it was kind of a security problem. They didn't want to risk no one being up there with the roof being sloped. And I looked at the roof. I'm like, that thing is not that sloped. I mean, we're not talking like, you know, 45 degrees or anything. It was like barely sloped. And I think there's a lot of excuses being made on that end. And apparently they have this protocol that they don't engage with the shooter unless the shooter shoots first. And what sense does that make? Like, in terms of, okay, we're not going to shoot that guy that has a gun pointed towards the stage unless he shoots first. Like,
president of all people.
Yeah.
The president of all people. But honestly, I just think there's so many different loopholes. Like, we don't take stuff serious as far as security. We easily get distracted. We don't really pay attention. So the guy, he could easily probably got in there easier because nobody was paying attention. I feel like even though he was on top of, like you just said earlier, like how did he get up there? So therefore somebody had to either be not paying attention or they said, okay, he said he got it. Or okay, she said she got it. Or like you just said earlier that we couldn't have clearance to go on this place because of the slope or something. That's not even a good excuse. Now, what if the president did die. And the only thing they can say is that it's the slope.
Well, you know, a lot of people were giving the director a lot of flack for what she said, and, you know, just for the whole thing just kind of being botched. And some people were saying that, you know, they were looking at her background, mm-hmm. and saying that before she became the director of the Secret Service, she was in charge of, like, security services for Pepsi. So yeah, so she was basically making sure your Pepsi products got to their vending machines safe and sound, basically.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
But I was like, that can't be true. And there was a lot of, like, conservative media putting that out there. Like, in my mind, I was like, there ain't no way she went from doing Pepsi security
to president.
So when I went back and looked, and sure enough, she was working for Pepsi prior to being with Secret Service and being the director of Secret Service. And you would say, okay, that's bad enough. You know, obviously, you didn't have the type of experience necessary to do that kind of job. Therefore, something like this could definitely happen. But when I look back into her full history, I realized that, no, she actually, before she, the job that she had prior to working with Pepsi was with Secret Service. She worked for Secret Service for like 22-something years. And then she left and went to Pepsi, and then she came back and became the director of a Secret Service. So she had the experience, like 22 years worth of experience with Secret Service, which to me makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because you've been around this this organization, this this agency, you know how it works, you know, supposedly in and out, and now you're the director, and I think she said in an interview that the buck stops with her, and honestly, I feel like she's gonna get fired. I mean, they're already calling for her to get fired for what happened. She says she's not gonna step down, but honestly, she's supposed to be going to some hearings in Congress next week. But I don't see how she keeps that job with so much stuff that's coming out,
yeah.
as to different things that were missed. I mean, because think about this. The guy had an AR-15 rifle, and apparently days prior, he had gone to Home Depot and bought a ladder. Like, how do you miss a guy walking around with a ladder and a rifle towards the building? And there's reports saying that there were snipers that had their eyes on him that knew he was there. A lot of it is not making any sense. Like, you know, because how can you say people knew he was there, he looked suspicious, but he was a suspicious person, quote unquote, but no one kept an eye on him and no one, like, did anything and was able to let him get off as many shots as he did. It's just, there's a lot of answers, a lot of questions still out there that we're going to need answers for. Right. But it was just so unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it was.
But now, obviously, you know, like you said, a lot of people were making comments or making skits and stuff like that.
Right.
That was as a result of it. But what did you think? Now, I don't know that this was an actual concert. I think it might have been like an older concert. But what did you think of 50 Cent superimposing like the picture of Trump on his album cover and playing that song, Many Men?
Again, this is 50 Cent. You know, 50, he's wild too. And actually, I thought that the cover was kind of hot. You know, and I guess he's trying to say, you know, he made it. He's stronger than you think he is. And
Teflon Don.
Yeah, he's just got many lives, I guess. You know, he's tougher than nails. So, but it was quick work. Like, yeah, it just happened, and then all of a sudden, you see this poster.
Yeah.
So, he was, they don't play. They don't slip on nothing.
Well, 50 Cent don't slip.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, 50 Cent, he himself got shot like 9 times, apparently. Mm-hmm. And he survived. Yeah, I think it was 9 times.
Okay, yeah.
So he survived. So, yeah, he made quick work of that. But, right, you know, people, 50 Cent is an interesting character because he's another one. He's like a major troll. So I don't know. I think it was kind of clever. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And people try to give him a hard time, you know, because they think he's actually trying to support Trump and yeah, whatnot. My thing is, like, if he does, then, hey, that's his prerogative. Yeah. I mean, you know, he can choose whoever he wants.
That's true.
But I thought that was funny. But any other thoughts on the Trump assassination situation?
Nah. I'm just glad he didn't get hurt. You know, I'm glad he didn't get, like, it could have been worse than what it was, you know.
I just hope that this whole situation makes a lot of people reflect and realize that, listen, you know, at the end of the day, we're all Americans.
We're all human.
And we all got families. Mm-hmm. You know, we all got friends and people that we care about. And yes, we could be passionate about issues.
Yeah.
Yes, we can be very voiceful with our opinions. But when it comes to politics, those things should be fought out,
right?
You know, with ballots, not bullets.
Correct.
We should be doing it at the voting,
absolutely,
booth, and really just making our voices heard that way, and not going at each other, especially in a violent manner.
Correct.
But yeah, man, just moving on to some lighter stuff.
Thank you.
Man, this is important, man. This is history. This stuff right here is going to be in history books. Your nieces and nephews, my son, they're going to be reading about this stuff in their history books. And we're going to be like, we actually saw it. We lived it.
And talked about it.
So so it's crazy, man. This is like, you know, history in the making, like literally. But moving on. So apparently, Martin Lawrence is coming out with a prequel series, and that's apparently in development. Let me just read this right quick. So Martin Lawrence is developing Young Martin, a prequel drama series to his iconic 1990s sitcom Martin. The new series will explore the teenage years of Martin Payne and set in modern-day Detroit, highlighting his journey through adolescence marked by ambition, humor, and complex life challenges. Lawrence will be the executive producer on the series, along with Marvin Peerts, I guess. The show aims to pay homage to the original while introducing fresh narratives and character development. So when you heard these news, what you think about it? And do you feel like it was necessary? Is it going to be any good? People are going to watch?
I think it's a smart money move. Because you just came out with Bad Boys, which is a huge hit, made over $1 billion. So the whole franchise of...
Mm-hmm. As a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not? And people love Martin. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a smart move. Like right now, you kind of hot in the press.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's talking about Martin. Everybody's talking about, well, not Martin, but talking about Bad Boys and Will Smith. So, you know, and everybody's talking about Martin about his health wise. I guess this is a way to prove people that, hey, I'm good. So I'm going to produce my own sitcom, you know, off of Martin. So I think that's perfect. And people actually love Martin. Like, usually on social media, whether it's TikTok or Instagram, or maybe even on Facebook, but I always see some type of small clip, some kind of a something, whether it's Shanae or Brother Man. I see something, got a little clip, and it's just, when you see those clips, it makes you remember the episode that you watched. Yeah. And then you go try to find, discover other episodes as well. And before you know it, you done spend almost 30 minutes trying to find the small clip, especially on like hashtag Martin or something will come up. And once you hit it, you're going to see all kind of clips. So I think it's a smart move. He's on to something.
I think he can certainly try it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that. I feel like a lot of people our age may potentially watch it for the nostalgia and maybe kind of figure out, okay, you know, Martin Payne is as a young kid. But I just don't know that it's going to hit like people think. And here's the thing. Remember when they tried to do the same thing with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Will Smith tried to do like a young Will Smith, or not Will Smith, but a young Fresh Prince, but they made it more like a drama instead of like a comedy. And it didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't hear nothing about it. In fact, they're not even making it anymore. No. I didn't hear no.
It was good though.
Was it?
Oh yeah, it was good. Like I think it maybe had maybe four seasons.
Four seasons?
I think it had four seasons.
Oh man, I didn't hear nothing about it.
And then it started off kind of slow. And I think a lot of these shows be too detailed in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I get it. You have to build up the character, who they are, and it's the narrative. But once I started playing, like you get past the first couple episodes and you get invested in the show, it actually gets pretty good.
Because, you know, like I said, I feel like it plays on the nostalgic,
right.
Side of things. I just don't know if it's going to hit with, like, new generations.
Right.
Because they're going to be like, okay, a show about a kid. And, well, who's Martin? Well, you don't know who Martin is? Who? I mean, these kids nowadays are, you ask them questions, they're like, they have no idea who certain people are. And it's, to me, it's like kind of mind-boggling, like, they don't know who certain people are. But at the same time, when I was their age, like 15, 16, talking to a 40-year-old asking me about, I don't know, some person from the 70s, I wouldn't know either. So,
well, I think that's true, but I think they're going to be a little bit more creative. I think they got ways now. Like I said, it's all on social media. Like, you can go and hashtag Martin Lawrence, or mm-hmm. The Martin Show, it's gonna pop up. Shanae, Gina, Pam, all these iconic roles they had in the sitcom, so it's gonna pop up. So a lot of people actually watch it. Like, there's t-shirts, there's merch you can get. People wear merch. I seen kids today, young guys wearing like Martin t-shirts. You know, it has Shanae on it, and because it's a fashion statement. So I think it might do.
I do feel like a lot of people wear that stuff. Like I've seen like young kids wearing like Tupac shirts or like Nirvana t-shirts, and I'm like, bro, that was like, you weren't even born when this came out, but they wear it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, do they actually know this music and these people, or are they just wearing it because it's cool, maybe counterculture, it's kind of vintage? Because it's crazy that our stuff from the 90s is considered vintage now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's wild to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I hope it does well. You know, I like Martin. I grew up watching Martin, and it was one of my favorite shows on TV. So, I mean, I hope it does well. I just don't know that this generation is going to necessarily care about it. Us, we may, I don't know how much you'll watch.
I probably won't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I may watch.
And I won't watch it because I'm not invested. I'm just not going to watch it because I don't have time. Like, I'm not going to sit here and come home on a Friday night and, oh, man, I got to catch Martin. No, I'm not. Now, if
little Marcus, like,
yeah, I mean, no, now,
teenage Martin,
I may catch it on the DVR. I may maybe watch a couple of clips on YouTube just to see if I'm interested. And if it warms me up, then I'll go back and watch and check it out. But speaking of TV shows, Shannon passed away.
Who?
Shannon.
Oh, Shannon Doherty.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, I know this is off topic.
No, you good.
Man, they hit me.
That messed you up?
I didn't say it messed me up, but it made me think because I used to watch Down to 2-1-0.
Oh, really?
Oh, what?
I never got into it, but.
I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry for you. But 90210 was the hit show. Everybody loved 90210. And not only 90210, she was in Charmed. Like, she had another TV show called Charmed.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one either.
I'm so sorry for you.
You watched that one too?
I watched a couple of them. Like, my mom was vested in that show. Yeah. But 90210 was like, and I guess it made me feel weird because she dated Luke Perry. Which, okay. Luke Perry died on the show.
Yeah, what did he die of?
He died of, don't quote me if I'm right or wrong, but I think it was some type of an illness. I don't want to say it was cancer, but it was something he was battling for a couple of years, and they actually took him out. And on the show, there is an episode where he was in a car accident. Both of them was together, and they died.
Oh, dang.
And so now, here out today, they both gone. But they both dated. But I love 90210, so I know I'm not the only one, so I know some of you guys that probably watched 90210 and really was kind of like shocked about Shannon because she was pretty. But and I do know she did battle cancer for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And because it came, I think in early, maybe 2014, 13, mm-hmm. and then it came back.
Yeah.
So, and this time it came back and hit it hard, so yeah.
Yeah, I think she was battling, I want to say breast cancer maybe, and I think that might have been what did her in. But yeah, I was never into that show, and I don't know, man. I think I couldn't necessarily relate to the characters because
I'm so sorry for you.
You know, because they're, you know, Beverly Hills and, you know, rich kids and rich high school, and I don't know. It's just I couldn't relate back then. In fact, the shows that I remember watching back in those days, I mean, watch the Cosby Show. I love the Fresh Prince. I liked all the black shows. I watched the Fresh Prince. I watched Martin. I watched the Jimmy Fox Show. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. What was the one with what's his name? Steve Harvey and
Steve Harvey Show.
The Steve Harvey Show, is that what it was called? He was the school teacher. And Cedric.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched that. So those were the shows that I was watching growing up. Like all that TGI Friday stuff, like Wonder Years or whatever it was. What was the ones that they would play on Fridays?
You didn't watch Wonder Years?
No.
Home Improvement?
No. I was those shows never.
I understand the black culture. Power to my people. I understand them, but some of them I did watch. I think I watched Family Matters.
Okay, Family Matters.
Family Matters and 227, and I really didn't watch Martin a lot. I to be honest, I really, really didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I thought he was kind of corny.
Really?
Me. I did. I like that shenanigan got on my darn nerves. It got on my nerves badly, real bad. But my shows was 90210, Merrill's Place.
Oh, Lord.
Saved by the Bell.
Okay, I did watch Saved by the Bell.
And Married with Children, 227.
Full House.
Four House.
Yep, I watched Full
Home
House.
Improvement. Those was my shows. Like that had me glued to the TV. Mm-hmm. And when I watched 90210, I felt like that was my reality TV. Like nowadays, you got reality TV shows,
yeah.
But that was my reality TV before you had Real World and Road Rules stuff like that. But 90210, boy, on Thursdays. Matter of fact, it was on Thursdays. Came on 9 o'clock. And Meryl's Place comes on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was it.
Now, I never, I never watched those, but I do remember taking a trip to California and seeing Melrose Place.
Right.
And
how was that?
It was kind of interesting because you're like, oh, this is what you see on TV. But yeah, I never got into the into those shows. But yeah, man, it's kind of sad that she's gone. And I think somebody else died this week. I think it was the father of
Kobe Bryant. Yeah,
what was his name? Joe Bryant, I think his name is. But he passed away too.
Right, he was young. I didn't realize he was that young.
How old was he? Like 60 something?
He might have been in the early 60s.
Yeah, and what I heard, I don't know the full story, but I've heard that they didn't really have a good relationship. Like, maybe not Kobe Bryant himself with his parents, but like Vanessa Bryant, you know, the widow, apparently she doesn't have a good relationship with the Bryants or Kobe Bryant's parents.
Oh, wow.
And apparently they haven't been doing well financially. And I want to say Kobe Bryant's dad had to sell his championship ring just to get some money out of it. Wow. Which makes you wonder, when Kobe Bryant has like this like huge estate with all this money, like how's your parents like struggling like that? And again, I don't know what the relationship was like. Obviously, he's gone. So, obviously, all the money has gone to Vanessa. So, if she doesn't get along with them, and of course, you're probably just not going to give them anything.
Right.
But at the same time, they're the grandparents of your kids. So, I don't know. It seems kind of crazy. But obviously, he's dead now. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think she'd do right by them. And, at the end of the day, that is the grandfather of her children. So I believe she would have some type of compassion and do something, you know.
Well, if it wasn't for them, you know, there would be no Kobe.
Exactly. So,
and if it wasn't for Kobe, she wouldn't have all the money that she right. left him. Mm. She, he left her.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think his mom's still around. So at least there'll be something.
Yeah.
Some for her, at least that can kind of mend those bridges or whatever.
True.
But man, we introduced last week a segment called Overrated, Underrated. Mm-hmm. Underrated, Overrated. So I've got some here for you. And of course, you don't know what they are because I want to see your in the moment take.
Okay, let's go.
So we're going to start with Underrated, Overrated. Street food.
Like taco, like truck, like food trucks?
Yeah, like food trucks, you know. Street food. Would you say it's underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Okay, explain.
Because they should be everywhere now, and which they are. Like, they are right here in town. We got, like, food truck Fridays. Mm-hmm. Even in the neighborhood, we do food truck Fridays. Up there in town, you can find a whole little part, nothing but food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right in Simpsonville. So I think that's great. So I think they should. I mean, if the weather's nice, you with your family, I think it's perfect for like parks, mm-hmm. you know, just to hang outside and just grab some food. And I love the different variety of food trucks, not just tacos, not just like seafood, but different types of things, like different like varieties and stuff. And I say, yeah, I think they're underrated. I think you should see them more often. I think what's going to happen. And you know, it's so funny you say that because I remember, I don't know if I ever told you this, but many, many, many years ago, maybe before COVID, I had a friend of mine wanting to buy a food truck and he bought it. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, man, you shouldn't get this food truck because it wasn't really popping then because Greenville was still trying to grow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't places where people can go and get food truck. Now, I mean, we went to Charlotte years ago. We always come outside the club, and there would be a food truck where it'd be hot dogs or something, set up a stand. But that was in Charlotte. But you didn't see that here in Greenville. So now, all of a sudden, you see food trucks everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, yeah.
I agree. I think it's underrated too, because a lot of those food trucks and vendors, they actually got good food.
Ooh, and I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, it's very tasty.
Yes.
And like you said, the variety.
Yes.
So I think it's underrated too. Yeah. And it's definitely becoming more popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, there is that spot, I want to say, in Simpsonville, which it becomes like a food truck thing.
Park,
whatever. Yeah. Is that every day or is that just on weekends?
It's every day. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, downtown. Mm-hmm. Every time they have, like, events and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, they usually, sometimes will even come to neighborhoods, like they've come to my neighborhood a few times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, street food is definitely underrated. Too. So what?
We have work, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great, great idea. I think it's a great investment. You know, I think it's a great opportunity.
Okay.
You know.
All right. All right. So underrated, overrated. Cold showers.
Overrated. Overrated.
Why?
They don't serve no purpose.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. But it just shock you. But make me think, because I know nowadays everybody doing this
cold plunges and all that.
Yeah. So I've seen it a lot here lately. Like a good bit of people doing it. And they say it makes your body, it shocks the body or something, make you feel better.
Yeah, it's supposed to, I guess help with inflammation and stuff like that. But to me, I don't know. I feel like that they're overrated too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Yes, if I'm trying to wake up or whatever, I'm cool taking a hot shower. I don't need a shock to the system.
But I think there's two different meanings of this though. Like the cold shower, I think they're talking about is maybe because of maybe some sexual thoughts or something.
No, I think it's just cold, plain old cold showers. Like, really? Yeah, because people do them for those reasons to. You know, decrease inflammation, supposed to, like, help with alertness and these other things.
No, I ain't got time for that. No. But there is this company that I think we should go try out. It's called La Crypto.
What?
It's called Crypto, Cypro.
What is it?
Cypro.
I know, but what do they do?
You go in and you actually put on a robe and you get into, like, this room and it shocks the body. Like, it's like a cold shower, but it's like, getting inside like this cold tub, and it's supposed to make you feel better. And you know, yeah, this one here, it's a couple here in Greenville. Yeah, people take that. I see a lot of my friends on Snapchat be going there.
Nah, yeah, I'd probably pass.
Okay, I'll let you know.
All right, so last one, underrated, overrated, CBD products.
I have no comment because I don't eat.
Oh, you never try any gummies or like CBD oils or nothing?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
I'll
never try. I don't know. So you got to tell me on that one.
Well, they're definitely, I feel like they're underrated in the sense that, man, I feel like they can do a lot of different things. Well, some people take them for like to help with their anxiety or to help them sleep.
I heard it.
And they make ointments and different things for like joint pain. So or people even, you know, ingest them to help them with pain and everything. So I feel like it's underrated because a lot of people are on different medications and different things for their pain or anxiety. So something like CBD, I feel like it can be beneficial.
Right.
But you also have to be careful with it. Because, man, let me tell you something. we went to Denver for a wedding, friend and I. And we decided to do an edible and go to this place called Meow Wolf, which is like this really weird sort of museum, sort of very psychedelic sort of Alice in Wonderland looking place. But I didn't feel anything when I took that edible. So we were on our way to this wedding rehearsal because friend was in the wedding party. So I decided to take another one because I was like, I don't feel anything. And so I took another one. And on the way there, I didn't feel on the way there. Once we got there, she was doing the rehearsal. I was sitting with some other people having dinner. And all of a sudden, like, I start, like, just feeling really, like, very, like, relaxed. And then I could feel like, oh, my God, this thing's kicking in. Bro, when I tell you that, I don't know how I got to the car. Like, I don't, that whole, you know, trip to the car from the restaurant, I don't remember. I can't remember. To this day, I don't remember. I don't know how I got to the car. When we got to the car, we had a rental. Fran was driving because I was out of my mind. But here's the thing that was kind of freaky. And I don't know how to explain it other than this. There was a part of me that I can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. You know how people say, in Christianity we talk about God being eternal, like he lives in eternity. Mm-hmm. I could never understand how that could be, because obviously we're humans and we live in time. But in that moment, bro, like I could see what eternity felt like, because I could see things from my past going on, me being on the road driving.
Is that right?
And riding, and then the future, like I could see things that hadn't happened yet. Because I could see my future, and I remember telling Fran, and she recorded some of this actually, because she thought it was funny. I told Fran, I was like, look, there's going to be a time when I'm looking back at this laughing, because I know that I'm high, and I'm not making sense, but I can see all of this in this moment. And then when we got to the place, I kid you not, I felt like almost like my spirit was on top of my body. Like I was like looking down at myself. And when I hear people like do like certain like psychedelics and stuff like that, it's like, man, they talk about all these crazy experiences. It's like, I've always wondered what that might be like. But dude, this was just with like a gummy of like CBD, not even like the real thing. It was just like CBD. And, it took me to a whole nother level. That being said, it does have a lot of medicinal purposes that I feel like it could be very helpful. So for my part, I feel like it's underrated. And dude, they're like everywhere now. You could find them just about every other corner these days.
Okay. Thank you.
Any comments on that?
No comment.
Bruh. Uh-uh. Okay. Well, moving on. Let's see. What else we got today? So, dude, what did you think about that girl that sang the...
First of all, she didn't sing.
Well, let me let the people know. So we're talking about this lady that sang the national anthem at the baseball, I want to say home run derby. And the singer is a country singer named Ingrid Andress. And she was performing horribly. And she later admitted that she had been drinking, or she was drunk the night before and she was like hungover, and now she's like going to rehab after this whole situation. But when you heard it, did you think it was worse than that one time Fergie?
Yes.
You thought it was worse than Fergie?
Yes. Yes, and another yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I know Fergie, when Fergie heard about this, I know she was so happy that now I am not the worst singer singing the national anthem. But at first, when I first heard this young lady sing, I'm thinking maybe she just foreign and she have a deep accent or something. And they were just coming out while she was started singing. And I started listening to it, thinking, oh my Lord, like this, she cannot think this is okay. And so then, and I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. I was, maybe it just because it's stage fright, or she was just had a little like scared or just like frightened or nervous. But
yeah,
I didn't see none of that. She was just hitting these notes. And she was going there. And when she was going, we weren't going with her.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder how they pick these people.
Yeah.
Now, of course, like, I understand that she's a country singer, but obviously I've never heard of her.
No.
But, yeah, man, it was really bad.
Yeah, it was different.
It was really bad.
And I think what they do, I think they try to be very diverse and pick random people. Just give them a chance, you know, just let them sing it. Because now, if she would have got up there and blow that thing to the moon, that might have just advanced her career. That put up on the map. People start Googling her, going on YouTube, get more followers, get more clout. Because now this chick can sing, and she doesn't look like she can sing. She looks like she might be like a college girl or something.
Well, knowing what we know now of what she said, and obviously listening to her performance, but even when you look at the video, you're like, she looks all like disheveled, like she just woke up, like her hair. I don't know. So yeah, I do believe that she was, you know, she was drunk, but at the same time, it's like, how does not nobody like, and I guess they didn't have a choice but to let her sing, because what were they going to do? I don't think they have like a backup person,
right,
in situations like that.
At the same time, I also not blame her friends, but she had to have some, you're not going to sit here and tell me she was drinking alone. She had to be drinking with somebody, and whoever she, either a fan, and if she's a country singer, she probably had a couple, I'm gonna say at least two or three friends with her, probably having a good time, excited that I'm singing the national anthem tomorrow.
She probably had an entourage,
yeah,
like group, you know.
And so my thing is this: is that if you're on that level and you know you got this huge opportunity the next day, why not somebody in that group, a setting of that group of fans, tell her, hey, we might want to like pipe down. you're going to be on live TV tomorrow singing the national anthem. Mm. And of all things, the national anthem. So let's just call it a night. And just go home and just relax and get yourself together. Maybe just chill out and get your voice ready for singing tomorrow. That would be the right thing to do. Like if that was me in that group of friends, and I know that this chick is very, she's good, she could sing. I know she could sing. I've seen her a couple times to sing, but a lot of people in the world never heard of like you and I. So this is her chance to shine. So why not somebody in that group speak up and say, "Friend, let's cool it down. Let's get some coffee."
Yeah, well, I think the problem is that when you start seeing some of these celebrities or, you know, becoming celebrities, like we've talked about this before, you know, they're surrounded by yes people. You know, they never get told no.
Yeah.
So a lot of times,
that's sad though. That's scary because you're around people, and I think, and I have so many questions. Like, for her to be drinking like that, what is she going through? Like, what is she experiencing? Like, is it heartache, or is it like just some holes in her heart? Is something in her mind or in her past that she's dealing with is haunting her to make and drink like that? And you knowing you have this huge opportunity the next day, but you trying to numb your pain in a bottle.
Well, I mean, part of it could be that, or a lot of it just could be addiction. She's probably just an alcoholic. Some people just love to drink, you know. they don't necessarily have problems. They just love to drink. They're like addicted to it. I don't know if that's her case, but But one of the things that you notice about alcoholics is that they'll try to do normal things under the influence, and they just don't care because they've got a drink. You call them, you know, functional alcoholics. In her case, didn't really go very well, but
right.
Yeah, man. So hopefully she recovers from that on rehab or whatnot. But moving on, man, I heard this story and I thought it was kind of crazy. This man hired his neighbor to get his wife pregnant, and then he takes him to court after 75 failed attempts. So let me read this story for you. This must have been in a different country because, I mean, this is crazy. So Darius Makabako, a Tanzanian man, hired his neighbor, Evans Mastano, to impregnate his wife after discovering his own sterility. In other words, he couldn't have any kids. Right. And then despite 75 attempts over a 10-month period, the neighbor failed. A medical examiner revealed that Mastano was also sterile, leading to the discovery that his own children were fathered by his cousin. Makabako is now suing Mastano for a breach of contract, but Mastano refuses to refund the payment, claiming he only promised to try. So, I have so many questions. First of all, if you found out that you were sterile and you and your wife were trying to get pregnant and you found out that you couldn't have any kids, first of all, would you ask your neighbor to try?
Hell no.
With your wife?
No.
For a measly $2,000?
No.
Oh, my God.
Like, where did this happen at?
Tanzania.
Yeah, because it can't be around here. That wouldn't happen.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure about that. But nevertheless, so you that wouldn't fly with you.
No.
You would try some other kind of way.
Listen, there's other ways. This is 2024. There's other things you can do. There's different supplements you could take.
Now, my understanding is that the guy felt like the neighbor, they kind of have some similar appearance. They kind of, you know, favor each other. So he thought, well, if I let him get my wife pregnant, the kids are going to kind of look like me, maybe, because we look alike, sort of. But come on, bro. Like,
that's dumb on his part.
Yeah, I'm going to let you come to my house. Because apparently the guy would come 3 times a week.
Yeah.
3 times a week.
If it's 70 sometimes in 10 months, yeah.
I was like,
he's stuck on stupid.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with this world, man.
Man, you know? I'm telling you, the world has lost common sense, bro. they dumb as homemade sin.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, it wasn't just him. The wife had to agree. So it's not like, you know, she's absent of any guilt here, but I don't know, man. That's just so bizarre. So bizarre that you would do that.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, what are you supposed to tell your kids? Like, because they're going to find out. All this comes out eventually.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, at least get a sperm donor, like, if you really, you know, but like, or maybe if you really wanted the neighbor, like, okay, have him go to a sperm bank and do the whole, if you really want to get the neighbor to do you that solid, but like to actually like, hit your wife like that 3 times. Nah.
So my thing is 3 times a week.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Probably sit on the couch waiting for them to get done.
Like what are you doing? All right, like did you go over to the house and watch, or did you stay home and watch the game,
Like, I'm going to go play some golf. I'll be back.
Yeah. And then your friends, you're going to play golf with, but like, hey, so how's the wifey doing? Oh, she's getting knocked up right now.
Yeah.
So how does that play out? Like, you come home from playing sports and playing golf or whatever the case may be, and she comes home, take a shower and relax, and then she goes back again for a second round. And the third time is the charm. And going to get a third time. And then by the third time, it's got to be at that point at least 9 o'clock at night, at least nine.
But you
have to work the next morning. So you done took your shower. You done played 18 holes at the golf course with your friends. You going to bed asleep. And your wife said, well, honey, I'm going next door. And you don't have no kind of fantasy plan in your mind. Like, it's been all this intimacy time together and you're not even there. Like, now what?
And the thing about it is the neighbor knew he couldn't get her pregnant.
Right.
Because he was sterile himself. So he just wanted to have sex with her, basically.
Right.
And got paid for it.
So if you ask me, if you ask me, he's the winner.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He won.
Absolutely. He
and they look stupid.
Yeah, and of course, he took him to court, but I don't think he won. Right. Yeah, man. She just
experienced something that maybe she had a desire before in the beginning.
For the neighbor?
Yeah, for the neighbor. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because, yeah. I mean, what kind of woman's going to let that happen?
Yeah.
Three times a week for 10 months.
Unless you Kim K. But go ahead.
I mean.
I'm just joking. But anyway.
I don't know if she might.
Yeah, but damn, bro. Like, really?
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. It's crazy. Mm. But, man, we're going to finish up with this new segment. We got another new segment.
Okay.
This one's called Would You Rather. Would you rather? You got to think about this really good, man. And I want some solid answers in terms of would you rather.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather live without music or live without movies and TV shows? Like, no more, ever again.
I would rather live without without movies and TV shows.
Okay, why?
I love music. Music is magical. Like, my mind can travel with music. I can use my own imagination with music. And a lot of times with music, it tells a story. So yeah. If it depends on, and if it's lyrics, then yeah, if it's just like instrumental, it's a different story, but... with lyrics, you can actually tell your own story, and you can be very, transparent at the music. You can actually put your lifestyle or whatever situation you're dealing with at the time into the music as you listen to it. TV shows and movies, that's already been played out. You could just watch it, and you sitting down, you watching it, and it's a TV show, and you just watching it. But you're not really, it just, that's somebody else's dream, you watch it on TV, to me. But with music, it just makes me just travel. Like, even now, like, I can actually, like, go in my room, put on this music, and I can just go somewhere. Even when I'm traveling the highway, I put on this music, and I just travel. Like, it takes my mind away.
Yeah.
So music is like a scapegoat for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would give up the TV and movies.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, because like you said, music can be used for storytelling,
right?
And a lot of stories do get told
right
through music. So that in and of itself can be very entertaining and it helps you escape and stuff like that. So, and really, like, if I really want to dive into some kind of story or some sort of instead of TV, I mean, you could always read books. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of TV shows or movies come from books. Mm-hmm. So you could still get that aspect of things from books and just use your imagination. But music, man, it's like, I wouldn't be able to give up that for sure.
I couldn't imagine a world without music.
But the thing was, but in like the medieval times or even before that, I mean, I think they had some level of music, right. But not like we do now.
Oh, I'm telling you. If you want to torture me,
yeah,
turn on no music. And just dead air.
Oh yeah,
it's just boring. I mean I could do it if I have to because it makes me think and relax my mind. But I prefer to have some type of a rhythm, some type of a sound or something.
Yeah, so I think we both agree on that one. So we'll keep music around. All right. So would you rather always have to speak your mind, or never be able to speak again? In other words, you have to be able to say anything that comes to your mind, or
and never speak again.
And never speak again.
Always speak my mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's something crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's, well, whatever comes to your mind, that's what you got to say.
Yeah. Because
you'll be losing a lot of friends.
Yeah, I will. I probably will. Because if I shut up and don't speak my mind, then that's going to really haunt me in the future, because I wish I would have said it, but I didn't say it.
Well, the thing about it is none of us speak our minds.
True.
You know, in its entirety. We always hold back.
Yeah, surface it.
Yeah, because you don't want to hurt people with certain things that may or may not be true, but we are thinking it.
Yeah. But they say as you get older, you get that way.
You get how? You speak your mind
more, yeah.
Well, because you're on your way out. You don't really care. That's
not true. Stop saying that. you're not on your way out.
Dude, think, when people...
When old people get into their 70s
and 80s, they don't care. They don't want to...
It's not because they're on the way out, Daniel.
What is it?
They feel like they deserve that right to speak what they want to say.
It's on not the basis about, of what?
Of anything. Like, I've met a lot of older people, and we got some at work. And they would tell you, and it's not that they're being mean. Like, you could take somebody at our age, around a 30 to 40 year old group, would say something, and it'll rough your feathers. Like, what? You make you want to get, you know, retaliate. But if you get somebody maybe 55 or 60, say something, the same statement, you kind of take it as if, like, okay, that's wisdom. Because when they say it because of they live this life already, or they live in this life already. So take it from me, and I'm trying to tell you something. But if somebody who's like 20-year-old or 30-year-old say that, we want to retaliate on them because they don't deserve that right to speak to me that way. So you take somebody who's older and they say it, it's not that they're on their way out. They feel the urge that their auntie or their uncle of you, and they telling you how to wake up. I'm trying to help you. Listen to what I'm saying. Well, it's food for thought.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And you're talking about advice.
Right.
You know.
But strong advice.
You're talking about advice or things that, you know, like, hey, don't do this or don't do that. I'm talking about every single thing that comes to your mind, you have to say it or don't speak again. Yeah. And you're okay saying it.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that if that's what we choose, we have to understand that we're going to say things that people are not going to like. It doesn't matter what age you are, just because they're going to come across offensive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, you walk into a party and someone that you haven't seen in a while or someone that you're not too crazy about comes up to you. And to say, oh, hi. And then in your mind, you're thinking, oh, God, who does she think she is? And you have to say it because that's what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel some type of way. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about old people just saying wisdom or whatever. I'm talking about based on this, would you rather. So you're okay being able to speak your mind because that's whatever comes out to your mind rather than not speaking at all. And you have to be okay losing certain people because you're going to say certain things that people are going to take some type of way. And to be honest, I guess I'll do I'll do that too, because I'll have very few little friends. But I mean, I don't want to not be able to talk.
Exactly.
So,
dang, I mean, I ain't gonna be at all. They ain't gonna have no music. Like, kill me already. Golly.
Anyway, so I got one more. All right. So, okay. All right.
Oh, God. This must be worse because he's saying okay.
Would you rather accidentally send a naked picture to your boss or to your mom?
To my boss.
To your boss?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Why?
Because they would understand, and my boss, like, in my world of work is different probably from your world of work. Like, they don't take stuff so serious like that. So if it's accident, so what, let it be. So if it was my boss, she'd probably look at it and comment, get a couple jokes, you know, and that'd be it.
You don't think she'll get you for sexual harassment?
No.
And try to get you fired?
No.
No?
No, it was an accident.
Okay.
Yeah, she wouldn't.
So you rather send it to her, to your boss?
Yeah.
I'd rather send it to my mom. Because at least my mom has seen me naked already.
Right.
She knows what I look like, you know.
That was like 60 years ago.
Well, still, you know, moms are moms. So it's right. Like in her eyes, I'm always going to be her little boy or whatever. True. So to me, I feel like, well, but my boss, you know, which I don't really know who my boss is, but, and I don't know if he's a guy or a girl, but regardless, yeah, I probably wouldn't sit well because I don't really know them and I don't really see them like that. I don't really, and they don't know me like that way. So if they get a picture from me, they're going to be like, Daniel, like, we didn't have to talk about this. Yeah. So I think for me, I'd probably go with mom, as much as that would be pretty embarrassing. And I don't know that I would have the face to.
Because once you send it to your mom, your sisters are probably going to know.
Not necessarily. Mom doesn't have to tell them. You know?
Your auntie's going to know. And once your auntie finds out, then your sister going to know. And then your cousin's going to know.
Well, I will say this.
They will use you at the next cookout.
I will say this, though. My family, I don't know about other families, but my family is very private. And so I don't know that my mom will put it out there. I just know them.
Okay.
I'll be like, Mom, oops, I'm sorry. I meant to send that to somebody else. And she'll be like, Daniel. She'll be disappointed, I'm sure. Like, why are you sending these?
Oh, like these? Oh, Lord. More than one? Oh, God.
Well, I'm sure she probably thinks this is not the first time.
Right.
And I would think she probably think that. But, yeah, man. So, anyways. Any final thoughts on anything?
There is no... I did have a final thought. I forgot it now. But, yeah, I don't think I have any final thoughts.
No final thoughts? Mm-mm. Well, I think that's all we got for today. We're about an hour and eight. So, but yeah, man, thanks for everybody kind of listening to us and hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Follow us on the socials, like, comment, share, and anything else for the people?
Have a safe weekend. Friday's approaching.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Peace out.